Radio.
That's true. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rohn. We are live in Southern California. I'm in the Quicken Loan Studios. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Third hour open right now. You have your telephone number. You know where to find me. Hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rohn. Email me at Rohn, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Lots that I want to get done this hour. If you're on hold, stay there. More telephone calls coming up. If you're not on hold, I've got one phone line open. It is Smack Off Week. Lots to get done. I want to finish something that I started last hour. We're joined right now once again by a college basketball writer for Yahoo Sports. In case you missed the first front or the front of the conversation last hour, he wrote a really compelling piece on the life of former UCLA basketball star Tyler Honeycutt. We're joined once again by Jeff Eisenberg. Jeff, it's good to have you back. Thanks for doing that.
No problem. Sorry about that. Losing you in the middle. Apparently the ocean halfway to Catalina, not a place to do a radio interview.
No, yeah, I see. I know how that goes. I know exactly what's going on there. All right, so let me ask you this. So Tyler chose UCLA, and during his freshman season, the team really struggled. At that time, what did the coaching staff and his teammates make of him, both as a person and as a player?
I think, like, you could see flashes of raw ability from Tyler that year. It was, like you said, really a bust of a season for UCLA. They went 14-18, finished below 500 for the fourth time since World War II that year. But Tyler was one of the bright spots both on and off the floor. You could see, kind of glimpses of his all-around game and versatility. And then you could also see that, like, he was one of the guys who kept teammates upbeat in the locker room. Like, he was almost a team barber for his teammates. Like, every practice he would, kind of check guys' haircuts. And if someone wasn't looking fresh enough, he'd tell them to come up to his dorm room. And, he'd have a barber's cape and scissors and a chair ready. And, teammates would get all their haircuts from him. Just was a really positive, upbeat kid, which is, again, part of the reason why it was such a shocker, that he went through the mental health problems that he did later in his life and ended up, at least according to police, taking his own life.
Jeff Eisenberg joining us. You know, Jeff, what about his sophomore year? He has this absolutely huge performance against Kansas in Fog Allen Fieldhouse, 33 points, including a game-tying 25-footer with 5 seconds left. How much did that game change everything for Honeycutt?
I really think it really did change everything and unfortunately kind of set him on the course towards, some of the issues that ultimately led to his death. I don't think he had it in his head that he was leaving school after his sophomore year until that performance. But when he put up 33 points on 11 of 15 shooting at Kansas, like you said, hit that game tying three. I mean, really, if you remember one game from Tyler Honeycutt's career, college or pro, it's probably that one. And even though it ended up in a loss on a last-second foul by Malcolm Lee, I think the thing you remember from that game is how good Tyler looked against a Kansas team with, I think it's 5 or 6 NBA draft picks on it, and he was clearly the best player on the floor that night. So, agents started calling. He started rising on mock drafts. Really all what you would call kind of the predators that happened at that time for a basketball product. Started circling him, and I think he was a little bit too immature to handle being an NBA prospect at that time, made some decisions that maybe he would regret, and I think that kind of contributed to the fact that he only did last for 2 years in the NBA.
Jeff Eisenberg is a college basketball writer for Yahoo Sports. So, Jeff, he was drafted by the Kings. He spent some time with their D-League team in Reno. What was the transition from college to professional basketball like for Honeycutt, and how well did he deal with it initially?
Yeah, not great. He got himself a new car, got himself some jewelry. So on that end, maybe he spent some money when he shouldn't have. He also, something that I didn't really include in the story because I wasn't sure it was appropriate at the time. But, it was later revealed that he had received some money when he was still in college after that Kansas game from an agent who helped support him and his mom. And then lastly, he shows up to the D-League team, and he's 30 minutes late for his first practice, 20 minutes late for his second practice, and 5-6 minutes late for his third practice. So, like, that's just not the impression that you want to make. And, look, if you're a lottery pick, I guess you can probably get away with that for a while. But he was the 35th pick in the draft. He's a second-round pick without a guaranteed contract. You can't do that. And so, look, he had NBA talent, no question. And even his D-League coach, who was, like, at the time, incredibly unhappy with it, admitted that he came to really like Tyler later because he has such a infectious positive personality. But at the same time, if you're not a first-round pick, you don't have guaranteed money, the last thing you want to do is show up late to the first three practices. And accommodation that, and him just, really being an average 19, 20-year-old with still some maturing to do. I don't think he made a great first impression with the Kings. He also had some injuries that he dealt with, and by the midway through his second year, they decided he was expendable and included him in a cost-cutting trade, and that was pretty much the end of his NBA career right there.
I was going to say, they trade him to Houston, and then after a short stint with the Rockets D-League team, they waive him. Where did he go from there?
So he went to Europe, and he played at a very high level in Europe. He played in Israel and Turkey and in Russia the latter 3 years on EuroLeague teams, which is the top league in Europe. And he did well. Like, the one of the bigger mysteries of kind of how things went wrong was the fact that his final season in Russia might have been his best season as a pro. He shot 49% from three-point range. The previous year, he had won a dunk contest in Turkey. He was part of successful teams. He was a starter. Like, I think it was probably a long shot that he was going to find his way back into the NBA, since the NBA doesn't take a lot of 27-year-old guys. They prefer, kind of to look for upside with 19, 20, 21, 22-year-olds. But with that said, like, he was clearly going to make significant income, and live a very comfortable life playing in Europe for the next 5 to 10 years if he wanted to.
Jeff Eisenberg, my guest. So, Jeff, at that point in his life and his career, was there anything to indicate that he was having really tough times emotionally and psychologically?
To most of his friends, the answer to that question was no. They still found him to be upbeat and the same as he had been his whole life. But if you talk to his high school coach, who, like I said before, was kind of a father figure to him, they noticed signs when he returned from Russia in mid-June that he wasn't the same guy. That, he usually was around a ton of friends and was very gregarious. But when he got home from Russia, he started kind of holding himself up in his room and in his house. He would kind of reach out and say he wanted to talk one day, and then a few hours later would say he was too tired and didn't want to do it. Just kind of all sorts of the red flags started showing up. He wasn't eating, wasn't sleeping as well. And, his family and his high school coach really did try to get him help over the last few weeks, but he kind of pushed them away, and it just didn't happen in time.
Talking to Jeff Eisenberg for a few more moments. We're talking about Tyler Honeycutt. So, Jeff, bottom line, from your conversations with the people that cared about him, how do they explain what happened to him and how he ended up in a situation where he was barricading himself in a standoff with police?
Well, I would say the person closest to him who I spoke to is the high school coach. And I think that what he felt like was that Tyler was depressed from the idea of having to go back to Russia next year. He had tried to get NBA interest. It didn't work out. And so he was basically facing a situation where he either needed to return to the professional team in Russia or find another team in Europe. And I think the idea of Russia in particular, but also even Europe in general, being that far from his friends and family, really was a kind of a trigger for his depression. And I don't think that we know all of the things that led to the incident and to his apparent suicide, but I certainly think that that was one of the big ones, the idea of not being able to get a look in the NBA and having to go back to a foreign country where he clearly felt pretty isolated and alone.
Jeff, there's always been this stigma about talking about mental health among athletes, the thinking being that if you admit that you need help, it's a sign of weakness. Having covered both professional and college basketball for a while now, have you noticed a change in how mental health is discussed now versus when you first started covering sports?
I think we're getting there, but I think it's a slow process. I mean, Kevin Love's piece in the Players Tribune was certainly a big thing. I think if you remember Ron Artest talking about having a therapist back in the day when he was on those Lakers championship teams, I think that was a pivotal moment. So, I think we're coming along, but I think that stigma still exists. And, athletes are kind of taught to tough it out. And, that's great for a sprained ankle, I guess. But, we've seen it with concussions in the NFL, and I think we see it in all walks of life, and especially athletics with mental health, that it's not something that you can just play through and tough it out. You need help. And, I think Tyler's story, the only silver lining that you can get from it is, you know, maybe it'll convince someone in his shoes to get help. Because by all accounts, like everyone who knew him in high school and college, you know, it's stunned by this because they just remember him as such a positive, upbeat, grounded kid. And, you know, for things to turn out like this, it's just sad.
So, Jeff, finally, you answered that in part. I was going to say, what should people remember about Tyler Honeycutt and his story?
I guess the biggest takeaway that I would have is that this sort of thing can happen to anybody, and that, you know, it's important to ask your friends and ask your family, what they're going through, try to understand it best you can. And above all else, if you're feeling like this, ask for help. And if you know somebody who is, try to get them help, because, you know, the situation can turn tragic in a big hurry otherwise.
Absolutely. He's a college basketball writer for Yahoo Sports. He wrote a very compelling piece. It's a sad, sad story, but a really compelling, important piece on former UCLA star Tyler Honeycutt. Jeff, really nice to run you down. Thank you very much. Great to have you on the show.
Appreciate it, Jim. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff. Jeff Eisenberg, my guest. If you want to share your thoughts on that, if you remember Tyler Honeycutt as a player, that is a really sad story. Really, really sad. Meantime, our phone lines are open the rest of the way. You can hit that. Other things, the smack off is a big topic today. I do want to talk about Richard Sherman and the interview that he did for the MMQB with Robert Klemko. Great, great piece. And if you thought this guy was going to leave Seattle and have nothing to say about what happened then, what's happening right now with the Seahawks, then you don't know Richard Sherman. That story's coming up in a few moments. Cuddy, the sequel. Jay Cutler taking over his wife's reality show. Carnoustie. The Open Championship going on this week. A preview of that. And Vladimir and his umbrella. All of that is coming up. Do not go anywhere. Phone lines are open. 1-800-636-8686. I'm asking the question. Where are you watching or listening to the Smack Off on Friday? Who do you have in the Smack Off on Friday? Why do you have that person? What do you think is going to happen? Who do you think is going to win? Do you have any kind of reaction like Liz about the beef between Vic and Rick? Apparently, it got started on the Woodscopes. I have to be honest. I did not see that. I did not listen to the Woodscopes this week. I do sometimes, not every week. But I went back to my old stomping grounds, the 805 Santa Barbara. Had to check that all out. Went back to where it all started. The college radio station, KCSB. Actually, I was there because Janet and I took Jake to take a look at UCSB. We're still in the midst of the college tours. So we went back to Santa Barbara. We walked UCSB. I showed my son all the places I used to hang out, what we used to do. We had a great time up there. So when we come back, we open it up. Tyler in Edmonton is on hold. My man's feeling so good about himself. We'll get him in. Don't go anywhere. Falling into bed has taken on a whole new meaning ever since I started to sleep on my Casper mattress. Their engineers have created an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience. Get one and you will understand why it is the internet's favorite mattress. Casper has created three unique mattresses to help you sleep cool and comfortably year-round. For instance, the Wave. It's engineered to relieve pressure at 36 different points. Then you have the Casper mattress, more breathable and comfortable than ever before. And then the Essential mattress, innovation at a great price point. All three are designed to coddle and comfort your every move, and they all provide the perfect support for every position you sleep in. Find out why Casper has hundreds of thousands of happy customers like me. Try your Casper mattress for 100 nights in your own home, with free shipping and returns. Simply go to Casper.com. Use the code name Rome. Save $50 on the purchase of select mattresses. Casper.com. Code Rome. Save $50. Terms and conditions do apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Put one more destination on your list this summer, GNC. You want to make sure you're getting the highest quality supplements at the best prices with GNC's price match guarantee, or try something new. If it's not right for you, return it for a full refund. This summer, live well with GNC. Exclusions apply. See an associate or GNC.com for details. And remember, it is Smack Off Week. Hard to forget that, right? Smack Off Week brought to you by my pals at Lumber Liquidators. Not only have they been a stellar sponsor of this program, I know that they're saving you clones a ton of jack on the best selection of hardwood flooring anywhere. It's time to upgrade your floors. Stop into your neighborhood Lumber Liquidators today. The All-Star Game in Washington this week. In the district, my thoughts on Bryce Harper. All eyes are on him, which I'll get to momentarily. But even more important than the All-Star Game this week is the Smack Off this week. Back at it. This guy will be there. He's been coming in. I respect it. I keep saying this, but I respect it. Guys like this could easily lay out, hoard their material, bide their time, load up, and wait for the big stage. This guy's not doing that. He's been coming in almost every day, either with a phone call or a tweet or an email. I got to respect it. Back to Edmonton. Tyler in Edmonton. Tyler, what's going on?
What's going on, Rom? How you doing, man?
Good, dude. How about you?
I'm good. Gotta love the Smack Off build-up, man. It's like a McGregor fight. What's the McGregor fight without a tour of him running his mouth in an effort to sell tickets? That's what I do, man. I don't hide. I don't hoard. I sell tickets. And don't tell me it isn't working either, because the last couple months, people have been calling in to talk about, well, me. And real quick to Mark, meth and pistachio diet smack. Nice, bro. So you crush Brad for his terrible takes, and then you use meth smack that's more outdated than a Stevie Carbone Smack Off title. That's an interesting approach, man. Rome, what Mark forgot to tell you is that he knows that when the Canadian Empire takes off, it's him in his depth position coming off the bench that's going to be in tough for a contract renewal. Mark, I would tread lightly on the skinny smack. There's a couple reasons, man. One, it's a Dan in Denver take. And two, those picks are already rolling into CBS, and the picks don't lie, my friend. And then we have the runt of the litter, Chad in L.A. I got to be honest, man, I'm kind of feeling bad for this dude. As a side note, Romy, I appreciate you hammering that guy with the dump button on Friday, but I can guarantee that wasn't the fastest this beggar's ever been dumped. Let's see, he went no phone line smack, Mounties riding horses smack, then moose coin smack. This guy recycled more jokes on Friday than that idiot Cal in Vegas did. And by the way, Chad, I'd rather be a Mountie riding a horse than be some pill addict from Los Angeles who rides around on a steer named Lef all day. Chadley, bro, you got to know your role, man. Come this Friday, you're going to be the equivalent of Austin Huff at the Oscars. So go rent yourself a tux, shut your mouth when you show up, and admire the view of me and my dime piece date when we roll in with the real players. And lastly, Jim, to the BIC. Brad, just like you called out Matt for allegedly misunderstanding the Stucknut odds, I'm going to call you out for clearly misunderstanding that blast from him about the Northern Sando. Because if you were actually paying attention, Brad, what he said was, we called off the Northern Sando before Miss Corona could even sneak out the back door on you. She won her Canadian golden ticket, sent one bad email with a couple selfies, and she got the smacky chopper harder than Fluke in Fort Collins. And Bradley, if you need to know why she isn't up to our standards, just take a look at the pics scrolling across Rome's screen right now. Romy, you might need to help the folks that are home with what I'm talking about. I'll do what I can by paying homage to your vacation take. Romy, you know why I show off my perfect tens? Because I get so many perfect tens. I'm out.
10. Rack him, Tyler in Edmonton. I'm telling you, man, I'll say it again. This dude's getting stronger and stronger. It's not, he's not running a risk by coming in. Anybody else, I might say, yeah, I don't know about that. Especially finishing outside the top 10, being a little bit green still, but he's none of those things. This guy got right. And when he said, Romy, can you explain to the people listening at home in the event that they aren't able to see what's scrolling across the screen? What he's talking about is, quote, his dime girlfriend. It seems to me Tyler did a photo shoot on a motorcycle with his, quote, dime girlfriend. And she's very attractive. So if, in fact, that's his girlfriend, he's telling the truth. He's pulling tens. Tyler in Edmonton sending photographs to CBS about his, quote, dime piece girlfriend on the back of a motorcycle. And they did a photo shoot. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, there she is. And it slugged Tyler in Edmonton's girlfriend. And she's on the back of a motorcycle. How can you tell me you don't want to see how this guy shows up on Friday? How can you tell me you don't want to see how his wingman, Matt Van, shows up? How can you tell me you're not at least a little bit concerned that a Canadian could rip your smack off? America, be there on Friday. I'm trying to get to my takes, but it's like the show is still the biggest take in and of itself. This smack off is still the biggest thing on this show this week. I'm trying to get to Bryce Harper. I can't even get there. I'm trying to get to Richard Sherman. These are transcendent topics. These are big names. Big names, and still the smack off is the biggest thing on the show. This guy is here to defend his ticket. If he does so successfully now, there's a really good chance we'll see him on Friday. Let's go to Denver. Dan in Denver. RTN, Dan, how are you?
I'm good, Rome. Thanks for the profile today. Listen, man, I know what I'm walking into here. I know what you and the clones want. So, Alvy, fire up the chopper. Here I go. Hey, Jim, did you see the shorts LeBron rocked courtside in Vegas yesterday? I love them. But was he wearing them backwards? I haven't seen shorts on backwards like that since Mike waddled out of the Chael's house paired with hogtie burns and a ball gag.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
He just pulled a Brad, didn't he? He just pulled a BIC. Remember BIC, and I profiled this last week. He started off the smack off last year. He had a great call, but Brad knew deep down that he was not going to wire the field, that you can't go wire to wire in the smack off because being in the smack off requires responding to other people throughout the show. So Brad said, I know I'm not going to win, so I've got this for you. Dan in Denver started the call by saying, I know what you clones want, so I'm going to give you clones what you want. Get the chopper ready. Go ahead, Alvy. That's the sound of Dan in Denver getting his ticket ripped. Dan probably knows deep down that he had no shot to win that thing. Dan probably knows deep down that he had very little shot of getting on the air on Friday. Dan knows he's going to get a hell of a lot more run and a lot more credit and a lot more hype if he does something like that. Dan knows it's a much better look for him to get his ticket ripped than to hold on to the ticket, show up on Friday, and not get a sniff, not get on the air. Dan, I'd say that I respect it. I don't, but I kind of see it working. That's Dan getting his ticket snatched out of his hand and run through the shredder. There you go. That's one less person we have to worry about on that day. I still have a stack of them. I could give them away. They're hard to get, though. Unless you're Mona in Knoxville, they are really, really hard to get. Anybody else want to take their shot? Call right now. Hawk, I know that you're short-staffed. Those phone lines, I mean, that's a freaking Christmas tree right now. I know you're used to working on shows where you don't see so many calls. Dude's like, dude, what's going on? And then Jake came in last week and goes, Dad, he looked much better with that porn stash. 1-800-636-8686. What are you doing on Smack Off Friday? Where are you listening? Where are you watching? Who do you have? Why do you think that person's going to win? Is it going to be an American? Is it going to be a Canadian? Is it going to be a dude? Is it going to be a lady clone? Who's going to hit the board? Are you checking out the odds on Stucknut? Jeff in SoCal. Well, Jeff's not called of late, which is probably a good thing, but he's still tweeting. Quote, is all of Canada on some sort of summer-long holiday or something? How the hell are these Canadians able to call, email, text, fax, tweet, write letters every day to the jungle? Hey, look, I don't know what these guys do. I don't know how they spend their days. I don't know what they do. I just know that they bring content every single time. Photo shoots, too. They do lots of photo shoots. Photo shoots with themselves. Photo shoots with their, quote, dime girlfriends. So they've got a little bit of time now. Hey, look, I'm not judging. I'm only here to... I'll tell you what I will judge. I judge the contributions. Tyler in Edmonton and Matt in Vancouver have solid, solid content. They'll be a factor come Friday. They're becoming a force, like it or not. They came to America, specifically New York City. They wanted to scout the talent. They somehow got inside the studios at CBS Sports Radio. They hung out with Rich Smackerman. Then they took their act to the streets of New York. They met Ty Domi in his bar. Ty Domi was so impressed, he bought him a cocktail and they smoked a cigar. He said, what are you guys doing here? Hey, Ty, we came to smack. We came to check out the competition, scout the competition for Jim Rome Smack Off. Ty Domi said, oh, I know Rome. I like Rome. I don't know, man. It takes a certain amount of gumption. It takes a certain amount of gonads to kind of roll up on CBS Sports Radio like that. They did. To roll up on Ty Domi like that. They did. And most of all, to roll up on this show almost every single day, either with a call or a tweet or an email. And they did. They do. Talk all the junk you want. These guys are showing up in a big way. And coming from me, the host, I got nothing but respect. Especially for the photo shoots, Ty. Especially for the show photo shoots. You and your girlfriend on some roadside with a hog. Next level. Got to keep pace. Hey, Matt, where's your photo shoot with your, quote, dime piece and your Ferrari? These guys crack me up. I've got an open segment to end the show. I'm still trying to get to my thoughts on Bryce Harper. Remember when they announced that the All-Star game was going to be in the district a couple of years back when Bryce Harper was a unanimous MVP, biggest thing in the world? I mean, this guy was unstoppable. This was going to be the biggest week ever. Now it's not quite looking like that. Or the flip side of that is, yeah, but how many home runs does he have? How many runs batted in does he have? How many times has he walked? What about the shift? What about all that? What about his batting average? What about how he was going to be the guy this week? Let's get into that. Jay Cutler taking over his wife's reality show. Cuddy doing Cuddy things. Richard Sherman. When they were with Seattle, they used to talk about Tell the Truth Monday. Well, he did to Robert Klemko. I'm going to try and get that in too. But first, here is your latest sports update. If you've been waiting. Tyler's getting over. A lot of you clones are so bent, so pissed about the pictures of his girlfriend on the motorcycle. Romy, just go ahead and give the freaking smack off W to Tyler in Edmonton. He could really use the money to pay off that Canadian escort on the back of that bike. He can pay her off and still net $4,995. Gee off in Lincoln. Bitter much? The winner gets $5,000. You can do whatever the hell you want with it. It's your money. CBS is money, but your money if you win. $5,000 to the winner. Jack squat to the runner-up. Even less if you come in third. This email says, Rome dog. All right. These Canadians are getting a bit much. I guess Tyler forgot to include his real girlfriend in the photo shoot. The Tyler does not have a ride other than Uber Moose in that third world icebox that they call a country. War BIC retaking the crown. Uber Moose. Lyft Moose didn't want any of that. Uber Moose. Hey, Ty, have you downloaded the Uber Moose app? Tom in Dallas with that. Ty was laughing, man. He knows he pissed you off with that. Again, that's that hook, man. He's just throwing it out there, and you clones keep swallowing it full. Anybody else? I love the reaction to it. Lots of hate. Because Tyler sent in pictures of his girlfriend, quote-unquote, on the back of a motorcycle. It only works on the simulcast. I mean, he could tweet that out there and create that kind of heat on Twitter, but even better on the TV show as part of the simulcast. He keeps sending pictures, and we keep rolling them. Time now for the ATP. You clones get to submit a question to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros and is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Nikki in Houston is making this her segment. Hi, Rome. You and the XR4TI have created the ultimate playground for the clones to get our degenerate on. Did you ever think in a million years the Smack-Off would have such staying power? What will you be raising a glass to this Friday? Thanks, Nikki. All right, Nikki, first off, no, I did not. I did not know if this thing was going to make it a second year, much less 24 years. So the answer to that is no, I had no idea. And number two, what do I raise a glass to on Friday? I don't know. I don't know. We have to see how it goes. I never know exactly how it's going to go. I know something's going to happen. Dan Silio had me on his show like he does every morning before my show, our show, in San Diego. And he said, hey, Romy, I've listened to this. He said, I've been in this business a long, long time. You and I go way back. What is your favorite moment from a smack-off? And I said, it's impossible to know or impossible to pick one favorite moment. So I'm going to pick the last moment, Left in Laguna. The Left in Laguna Beach got a bunch of guys who were part of that photo shoot in 1996 with SI. And I said, not to be cheesy, but my other favorite moment is the moment at right around 8:59 come this Friday, because you have no idea what's going to happen. There's going to be carnage, and there's going to be body bags, and dudes are going to get toe tagged. Something's going to happen, and I'm not sure exactly what it is. But that's another one of my favorite moments, which brings me to Nikki's question. What will I raise a glass to on Friday? I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. Left in Laguna, three-peating, one of the Canadians ripping this thing. I don't know. The fact that we're one day closer to our 25th anniversary smack-off, what's that thing going to look like? What do we do for the 25th? I'm not there yet. So, Nikki, I will let you know when I get that glass filled up. But it's impossible to know what Friday is going to look like, sound like, feel like, except that it's going to kill. It's going to be a great day. Something else that we do the week of the smack-off. The huge call every day leading up to it is a previous smack-off winning call. So if you're new to it, you get a sense of what it takes to win. So look for that in a few moments. The huge call is going to be a previous call that won. You know what? I'm trying to get to one of my takes, but it's a smack-off week and a lot of calls. Let's go to the calls instead. South Detroit, John in South Detroit, a.k.a. Hedstrom Bacon. This guy's making the jump off of Twitter to the phones. Let's go to John. Hey, John, how are you?
Hey, Jim, real quick. I guess I drew the short straw between myself, Pool Doc, and Steve in H-Town, and I was voted to call in, so I can't say where everybody will be listening from, but the Smack-Off after party is definitely going to be on Stucknut Radio via Periscope immediately following the show. You know, participant phone calls, listener breakdown and analysis, all the good stuff. So just follow at Stucknut, at Pool Doc 1, or at Hedstrom Bacon. And we just ask that everyone, you know, get the appropriate wristband ID on the way in.
I like it. Nice job. These guys have done this before. It's a good way to go. So they break the whole thing down. Stucknut Radio, Periscope. They break down the smack-off. After the smack-off, they have people call in. They talk about whether or not I got it right, whether or not I jacked it up. What do you think? I love that. One of my favorite things about this show, or all the shows about the show. One of my favorite things about this show is all the shows about the show. Hey, Hawk, let me touch base with you. Right now, Adam Hawk, executive producer, dude, your face has got a shade of white that I have not seen since like your first week here. What's going on with you, man?
There's just a lot of people that want to be a part of the show, especially this week because of the smack-off. And as you know, we are still efforting Dallas's replacement. So it's...
How's that going, by the way?
It's good. Yeah, we got some great candidates lined
up. Really? Then why are you here with a shade of white that I haven't seen? And why are you still tripping so hard if it's going so well?
It's just, you know, it's been a lot today. Not in a bad way. It's better to be busy than bored. But there's just been a lot to do today. A lot of calls, a lot of emails, a lot of tweets.
Right. And anything else stand out from today? Or are you just kind of freaking out by the whole process?
Kind of freaking out about the whole process.
Yeah, you are. I would say.
But it's smack-off week.
Man, dude, so you are gripping it so tight. Just relax, man. You got this. Well, actually, you probably don't. But it's going to be fine. It probably won't be. Anyway, have a great day, Hawk.
Thank you, Jim.
Thanks for doing nothing to make this show better today. How's your back, by the way? Go ahead and put them on. How's your back?
It's great. Thank you for asking. I'm doing well with it. Got some new remedies. Everything's going great.
What's a new remedy? I thought your old remedies were best.
No, this new remedy is the best.
What's the new remedy?
It's a good one. You know, it's pain relief in a natural way.
Hmm. You're getting baked.
No, Jim, I'm not getting baked at all. There are some ways to legally
Hawk, you are some kind of goofball, man. You really are, dude.
There are some legal ways to achieve what, Hawk? What are we getting at here?
All natural pain relief in a way that, is totally on the up and up.
Never mind. Nobody cares. Yep. We know what you're talking about. Do you feel better?
Yeah, sure.
Is it working?
Absolutely.
What happened to your chiropractor, John?
Dr. Joe?
Joe.
Yeah, he's not getting my money anymore. Going to a different doctor.
Okay.
Yeah,
keep it up.
Thank
you. Keep doing what you're not doing.
Thank you, Jim.
Yeah, no, you're welcome, Hawk. You're welcome. Anyway, that's Adam Hawk, and we're still efforting. Why'd you slow that thing down, Alvy, and turn it up about 10 decibels? Let me hear that again. Hawk after his new natural remedy for his bad back. What do you say we get to the huge call right now? Huge call is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. I mentioned a tradition the week of the Smack Off is to play previous Smack Off winning calls. This call was from 2014.
Midwest Mafia isn't just a geographical region. It's a belief system. It's a work ethic. I told everyone a few months back that we flipped a high-ranking official from the West Coast Mafia to the Midwest. And when I say something's going to happen, it's going to happen. If I tell you a mouse can push a house, don't ask me how, just hook him up. If I tell you the moon is made of cheese, you can get you some crackers.
What if I tell you two of America's most wanted are in the same mother bleeping place at the same mother bleeping time?
Go easy on them, Chael.
Guys, don't worry about the things they found in my system. Be grateful for all the things they did. Was there ever a doubt in anyone's mind? Chael P., the godfather, your mother's favorite trash talker, Jim Rome's favorite horse in the race, win its show?
The Clone Intelligence Agency has identified the West Coast Mafia headquarters at Big Wang's in Hollywood. Mark's making his call from inside the bar, and we're in a car outside of the bar. That's right. We're right outside of Big Wang's, and we're going in. The first ever attack on the West Coast Mafia on West Coast soil. Our target, that wannabe actor Mark in Hollywood. Codename, The Extra. Perfection, this is De La Creme. Do you have a copy?
Copy, DLC.
Are you in position to breach entry into the compound's kitchen?
Affirmative.
Initiate the breach.
Breach initiated. I see an old tweaker in a lab coat brewing up what appears to be a batch of that Heinsberg blue ice.
That's Trapper. He's harmless, but get out of there. Those meth fumes are dangerous.
Copy that. Okay. I'm in the main lair.
Any females in there?
None.
That's it, then.
Actually, I do see a guy hitting on a heavyset waitress.
That's Vicar No-Cow. Just let him go. He's the horniest man in the jungle, so he's not a threat.
I'm moving to a side room now. We might have the possible jackpot.
Do you have a visual on the extra?
Affirmative. Whoa! It's a meth head on the loose.
Keep your distance. That's Brad and Corona. He's done enough meth to fuel a nuclear warhead.
Copy that. I thought he was going to dive in front of the extra and do something brave for once. He kept running. He went right out the window. I guess the target's neutralized.
Are you still within range of the extra?
I can see him. He can't see me. I've obtained a copy of the script he memorized. It looks to be copied word for word from a very prominent book that is famous amongst the majority of my opponents.
What book?
It's called What Losers Say. We're so far in his head, Mike, he's going to take himself out.
Copy that. We don't want his blood on our hands if we can make it look like an accident instead. If he tries to run, take him out.
Copy that, DLC. For Roman Jungle.
For Roman Jungle. You see, Mark, Destiny isn't just the name of the stripper you poured your heart out to last week. Destiny's what happens when talent meets hard work. And hope isn't just the name of that hooker you tried to nickel and dime last night. Hope is that thing you lost when Chael and I stepped into the ring. I do declare. Now we're done. Crown us.
Now I'm done.
I did too. DLC, Chael P. They win it all in 2014. I know Chael will be here Friday. I still have no idea if Mikey is coming in Friday. That's it. Yankees ace Luis Severino way back in hour number one. Zach Collins of the Trailblazers. Jeff Eisenberg from Yahoo Sports. It is Smack Off Week. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. We're out.